Good morning. It's good to worship with you here in person and also online on another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. And we can say that because even though there are some horrible things going on in our world, and some may not like rain, but rain is also a blessing, God's mercies still remain new. And so that's what truly makes it a beautiful day and reason to rejoice. Do you see an area in your life where you have room for improvement? Maybe you don't see an area, but maybe one has been pointed out to you. How did that go over? On this side of heaven, each one of us has room for improvement, including in the areas of showing love and respect. This leads us into our focus for this morning as we listen to and speak God's word. So I direct your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Thank you.
Please stand. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind.
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me. According to Your unfailing love, cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt."
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, keep your household, the church, in continual godliness and set us free from all adversities that, under your protection, we may serve you with true devotion and holy deeds.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. A reading from Holy Scripture for this Sunday, taken from the book of Daniel, the first chapter, where we are reminded of the fact that in the face of trial, Daniel did not waver in his faith or compromise his faith in any way, clearly staying and stating who he represents. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the court service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In our reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 13, God is not favoring one form of government over another. It is a call for Christians to keep doing what is right, even in the face of trial and difficulty. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, where Jesus avoids the trap of pitting himself against the earthly authorities, reminding us that respect for everyone is not optional. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we turn now to our hymn of the day. Dear friends, there's an example of a hymn that may not be familiar to us. And so when that happens, don't close the bulletin in disgust. Examine those words closely, because it is a fitting prayer that has been put to music. And it's with that prayer in mind we focus our attention on God's word. Back to Romans 13. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace remain ours in abundance, thankfully, from God our Father, and through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning, even on Scriptures that are hard for us Christians with our new man to hear. Did God really say we have to respect the governing authorities? Does He know who's in charge? Keep in mind when these words were written, we think we have it bad now. Christians were being lit up as lamps to light the streets in Rome and other places. Thankfully, we're not there yet, at least in our country. As we turn our attention further to these words of Romans 13, which can be difficult for people to hear, even Christians, because we can mix up our old man and our new man and which one is telling us which. Sometimes we think we're guided by our new man, but the old man's a good deceiver. What is something you tend to take for granted? Now, I realize that's a wide open question, and the list could get quite long. And since we don't have that much time, let's try to narrow down that focus. What do you tend to take for granted on a repeated basis? Again, that could be a long list. Let's think about some things. How about the fact that the sun rises and sets on a daily basis? How about the fact that seasons come and go without our even really giving it much thought, other than complaining when it gets too hot or complaining when it gets too cold, or we're asking for rain and then when it comes, why did it rain? How about food on the grocery store shelves? I mean, how many grocery stores are within a mile radius of this location and they're pretty well stocked? Has not God provided as He promised? How about the fact that there is gas, even though it's costly in our state, or power to plug into for our vehicles? How about the ability to earn a living? For God has been clear in Scripture, if a person does not work, well, he should not eat. God didn't create us to sit around and bum off other people. And then even after years of employment, to be able to have the gift of retirement. Some don't get that gift. The ability to receive an education, especially if you're a young lady. Some parts of the world, you don't get that. Not trying to be a downer. But how much of life, the essentials of life, do we tend to take for granted and complain to God that He's not doing enough for us individually and collectively? How about even the fact that we have in our country still, even though it's being challenged, freedom to practice our religion? Until we have to go without. Whatever the category, we have a tendency to take such for granted, including what form of government we have currently in our land. Now, we may not always see eye to eye with those who are in positions of leadership in our country, yet the Lord makes it clear that something is still owed to those individuals, whether we agree with them or not. In a nutshell, the Lord reminds us that we still owe those in authority our respect. Well, what does that look like and what's not included? Keep it in mind that respect is not optional when it comes to those who are in authority, ultimately remembering who it is that we represent and why then respect is not optional. The Lord reminds us through the Apostle Paul, even in the face of a difficult government during Jesus' time here on earth and during the Apostle Paul's time of ministry and throughout history, really, that the powers that be have been established by God, not necessarily a particular form of government, and not that God is in favor of every form of government and leader that has been raised up throughout history. I mean, read Psalm 2. But God can use them for his purposes, and he does. God established government, again, not a particular form, because God is a God of order. And we know what happens when there is no order in the home, in the workplace, in the classroom, in society. Recall those who were willing and still are to defund law enforcement. It hasn't brought about order because that false assumption that people are good by nature, well, that goes right out the window pretty quickly because we're not. God knows that after the fall into sin, and so he provided a form of order to keep chaos in check. And as noted, he raises up and he tears down. Again, another reference to Psalm chapter 2 is just one example of how the God raises up and tears down, for example, the children of Israel. God raised them up to be a powerhouse for a time. And then they got away from God. So God raised up, for example, the Babylonians to teach his children of Israel a valuable lesson. Some learned it, some didn't. But even when he allowed the Babylonians to take them captive, we heard from Daniel, God was still merciful to them. God did not forget his promise for all mankind of bringing a Savior into this world, and at time, when time was right, would preserve that remnant by bringing them back to the homeland of Israel through the Persians, King Cyrus. Who then the Lord ended up taking down by raising up another kingdom, and so on throughout history. Even an ungodly government can provide order, and that's what the Apostle Paul was led to remind us of here in Romans 13. It's not so much that if you're doing right, flying under the radar, being salt and light in God's eyes, that they're coming after you. It's more for those who are the instigators. Why else is respect not optional? Well, keep it in mind that God has raised up people who are to serve and be served, to be obeyed and to obey, to be respected and to respect. It really goes both ways. He notes that that is the case for everyone when he says everyone is to submit or yield, that is, work with, not against. We'll touch on this a little bit more later, but what are we doing to show that we are willing to work with and not against? It's easy to complain, but what's the solution? But if the solution doesn't fit with my old nature, I'll complain some more. Keep in mind, again, if we do not have order, even through ungodly governments, what would be the result? Well, we got an example of that in Scripture in the Old Testament. Remember the Day of Judges? What's the tagline throughout the Day of Judges? Everyone did as they saw fit. It wasn't pretty. They would cry out to the Lord for help, and what would he do? He would deliver a judge who would provide order. That judge would die. What did the people fall back into? Everyone did as they saw fit. It got so bad, they cried out again. The Lord in mercy raised up another judge. Even in times of chaos, the Lord is still merciful and still listens to prayers and answers them as he sees fit. Unfortunately, what do we see instead of respect? What do we see instead of good leadership? Well, we do see abuse of powers. Ego gets in the way. Special interests get in the way. And what does the Lord say to those who are in power and who abuse their power and not use it for good? He will hold them accountable. Either judgment will come on them now, but ultimate judgment will come when they have to meet Him as the maker of heaven and earth. It's not for us to take matters into our own hands and eliminate that person from the face of the earth. The fifth commandment applies to us whether they're godly or ungodly leaders. God is the judge, not we. Which then leads to too often what happens, right? There's a disrespect by citizens. Self-included, guilty of it, name-calling. What else do we do to show disrespect? Well, some usher threats, whether they mean it or not. I mean, the fifth commandment is broken not just in action, it's broken in our thoughts. Because sadly, thoughts can give root to then action. And so the Lord warns us to even squash those thoughts. Some show their rebellion by cheating on their taxes and saying, well, I don't agree with this or that, so I'm justifying cheating on my taxes. What are other ways that you personally, or maybe you have witnessed in your family or in friends' conversations, that they show disrespect and dishonor to those in authority? Well, rebellion, again, in word and action, is another way of showing disrespect to those in authority. That doesn't mean we can't have a voice, but how we carry out that voice. I mean, this section really becomes a test of our heart and our motives, to examine our motives behind what we think and what we say and what we do. Are we doing what we think is right and this is how God should act, or are we doing what God says is right and we need to line up with His will? And so as we remember that respect is not optional, we do so remembering who we truly represent. We have been given a higher calling. We have a greater citizenship. I mean, this citizenship in the U.S. in some respects is second to none. And people, in some ways, literally are dying to get in to have such citizenship. But there is a higher citizenship that we are to not take for granted and to make available to others. That citizenship has come to us by God's mercy and love, clearly evident in the gift of His Son, Jesus. For Jesus has taken all of our disrespectful words and thoughts and actions toward leaders and everything else in life, and he took all that stuff to the cross. I mean, that was quite a weight upon Him. And yet it was necessary so that we could be redeemed and reconciled and brought into His citizenship. And that's why then we've been given the Great Commission to connect others to the citizenship above all citizenships, one that is in a perfect heaven, one whose ruler truly cares for us and is to be respected at all times by showing love to Him and our neighbor. Our neighbor is not just those we like. Our neighbor is those we even disagree with. If we're not showing love and respect to them, then we're not showing love and respect to God. And when we catch ourselves with that, then may our hearts be driven to repentance and focus back on the cross where there is forgiveness. Not to continue a life of respecting only those we want, but also respecting those we may disagree with. We've lost that in our country, though, right? To have a conversation with people that we disagree with. But instead of getting down below, hitting below the belt like some do to us, God calls us to a higher calling. Turn that other cheek. Set the example. Yes, you can defend your reputation and God and so forth. God can defend himself. But don't give in to what they're accusing you of. Like Jesus, right? They wanted to trap him and say, well, yeah, you don't need to pay your taxes. Then they could put the blame on him. See, he's rebelling against the government. Jesus knew what they were doing. Even that godless government, Jesus showed respect for, setting an example for us as well. So our motive for obeying even those who are not in line with God's will is not, as we hear, to be out of fear for punishment, but rather out of love for Christ, who died for us and rose again, and through the work of the Spirit, using the means of grace, has given us a heavenly citizenship, which is to be exuded each and every day while we're here on earth. Now, there is an exception when it comes to obeying those who have been placed in authority over us. It's not the kitchen sink and every excuse that falls into it. It's what Jesus said in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than human beings. So when Daniel, right, was being forced to pray and bow down to an earthly ruler, he still kept his prayer life to the true God. Daniel's a good example for us to be familiar with and how to show love and respect to those, humanly speaking, may not deserve it. So again, it's not so much the person, which we ought to show respect to, but especially the office, the powers that be that have been established. If the government says abortion is legal, God's word says it's still wrong. We obey God over the government in that case. The government may say transition is okay. God says it is not. And so we obey God over the government. And when the consequences come for that, respectful disobedience, think of the Apostle Paul. While sitting in that prison cell, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Romans 8, who or what can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? God's not taking away our voice, but he's reminding us of when we use our voice, how we are to use it. That calls for action. That calls for prayer. How often do we pray for those in authority that they may make godly decisions, that the natural knowledge of the law in them will take root in their actions, in their decisions, that they will be led to repentance and to fear God? But realizing at the same time, government has not been set in place to legislate morality. True morality comes from the heart being changed. And what has God given us for that purpose? He's given us his means of grace. He's given us law and gospel. So in addition to prayer for our leaders, that they may become godly leaders, or at least rule with God's natural knowledge of the law, that we also pray for opportunities to share law and gospel with people. And while we still have freedom of religion in our land, that we use it to proclaim the gospel to everybody we can and still use this nation as a springboard to reach other nations with God's word so that they can have a the highest of citizenships. To help us with that prayer life, to help us with respect, even in the face of difficulty, God, keep us connected to His means of grace. For it's through that means of grace that we grow in God's love toward us and in reflect that love then toward others, including those we disagree with. God knows this action is not easy, and so He puts into His Word a check for our old Adam and growth for our new man, by reminding us that respect is not optional when it comes to those in authority over us, remembering who we truly represent. And so before we keep pointing out the faults of those around us, make sure we also are looking at our own faults. Each one of us has room for improvement on this side of heaven. And so God, help us then, as His own, to grow in His grace and to show that grace through word and action, even under less than ideal circumstances. For when all is said and done, we do truly know who is in control and what He has waiting for us in time. In the meantime, God, help us be the salt and the light that He has called us to be. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith on page 8.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
We pray. Lord, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank You for all that You give us each day. You have given us Your precious Word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that You shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. And comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those old offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy Your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant us blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with Your almighty power to help us restore.
Lord of glory, You have bought us with Your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust You boldly, hope to stay our souls on You, but O best of all Your graces, with Your love, our love renew. Birthdays are another reminder of Your grace, O Lord, as You are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings You have given and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to You.
Continue to grant healing, O Lord,
to our sisters and brother in faith, Martha Kohler, who is going in for another surgery, Dina Oswald, who had surgery this past week, and Reverend Ken Bartelt, recovering from surgery. Thank you for the medical means at our disposal, for the purpose of caring for our bodies until that time when you call us to yourself. Thank you above all for the refreshing words of hope and spiritual healing you have to offer them and to us all. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you.
This is a note about that hymn on page 10, the Christ by Heavenly Hosts Adored. Again, fitting words. Thankfully that God's mercy remains on us as a nation. We may not be able to change things to the way we like, according to our viewpoints, but we still can pray for God's mercy on our nation, and that things don't happen in spite of rulers who are not in line with His will, that we can carry out our lives still in peace and quietness, and lead us to actions to maybe try to make a difference instead of just complaining about it. So thanks for your prayers on that behalf and being salt and light. It's a difficult topic, I realize, one that some of us will take flack for because we speak God's word. Bible study today, proclaiming peace through Jesus, what our world needs more of, right? Even in our own backyard. So we'll talk about that. And Area Reformation Service next Sunday at 4 o'clock that you're welcome back for, and a meal afterwards. A reminder that the Word of God is always needed, and our focus on that Word of God, which is really the point of the Reformation, keeping the focus on God's Word, which had gotten lost for a time, and continually, as long as we live in this side of heaven, we'll get lost. But God, raise up a generation who will remain faithful to it. That's our prayer. And that begins with you. And then a reminder that the Christian Memorial Service for Hilbert Criscoll will be on the 30th at 11 a.m. here at the church with a light lunch to follow. There's just a short video for the ladies among us, an invite, a reminder to the women's retreat that's coming up in January. And then that short video will be followed up by the Wells Connection, the work that we continue to pray for and support together as our church body.
Hi, I'm Linda Buxa, an author with Time of Grace Ministries. Please join me this January at the Mount Hermon Conference Center as we talk about our identity in Christ. Over and over, as I was raising my kids, I would remind them that their value was not based on their performance. I had to say it over and over because I think sometimes they didn't believe me. I think sometimes we believe, too, that our value is based on what we do. So instead, we are going to start the day by talking about what God says about us and how He sees us. And then we'll talk about how we live that out in this hard and broken and challenging world. So please register today, and I'll see you in January. I'm really looking forward to being with you because, one, I'm coming from Wisconsin, and it doesn't look like this in Wisconsin in January. And also because my husband and I were stationed in California for 6 years, and I'm really looking forward to seeing some of your familiar faces.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Starting a new church from scratch is no easy feat. There's certainly a lot of planning and preparation that goes into it. But with that can come great blessings for those given the opportunity to serve our Lord in this way, no matter how old or young they may be.
Up in the north woods of Wisconsin, in the village of Kronenwetter, is a group of Wells members working to start a church from the ground up.
It's free. It's free.
No.
Just fill out a survey. That would be great.
This church has just recently been approved for mission status from the Board for Home Missions. They're so new that they don't even have a pastor yet.
It feels difficult because we're used to going to a church and having a pastor lead us through those things, or going to a Bible study and having a pastor or a leader take us through those, where we've had to take that on ourselves. But I think it's definitely been a growth experience for many of us.
The core group is made up of Wells members from area churches, some of whom are students at the local area Lutheran High School, which just so happens to be located right here in the target area of Kronenwetter.
The
ability of the Northland Association just to say, hey, we have the space and we want you to use it is pretty phenomenal.
At least in the short term, worship services will be held right at the high school at no cost to this new church.
We'd just like to ask you a few questions as a little survey for our new church.
In addition to that, Northland students have been involved by canvassing the community and surveying their neighbors about their interests in a new church.
At Northland, we're really focused on teaching our students how to learn to grow in their own faith and to share that with others. And then not just in our school community, but to go out into the community and share God's love with everybody.
One of the neat things, right, is that especially teenagers, they're incredibly gifted and incredibly useful for ministry. Oftentimes, teenagers will think in ways that adults won't necessarily go. And so how neat is it that we have this ministry that will sort of be shared, where we have a workforce that can go out there, that can help the mission church.
Our topic for today is Jesus is coming soon.
Not only can involving the youth be beneficial for starting this new mission church, it can also have a tremendous impact on their own Christian lives as well.
It's really nice because sometimes it feels like at church, like it's like an adult thing and the kids are kind of just there, but like this year, like they wanted our consideration and they wanted our ideas.
By inviting the students in on the conversation, it has allowed them to have a sense of ownership. That church isn't just something that they go to, but that they are the church.
I think we'll especially see the fruit down the road as they graduate and go on to college and then wherever they work and raise their families, and when they're members of churches in our synod, I gotta believe they'll be very involved and will have grown from their experience with the mission here in Cronenwetter.
Just watch them grow in their faith and to learn at such a young age how important it is to share with others who need to hear the hope of Jesus, to need to hear the message of joy that we have. I can't explain to you, especially as a mom, how important that is to me to see my own kids just being so willing and open to share their own faith all the time.
As this core group continues to connect with the community, the next step will be to call a pastor and eventually launch public worship here at the high school.
Trying to start a mission that's totally focused on the lost, lonely, and the hurting from a ground level has been, energizing for a lot of us, and we're very enthusiastic about it.
This new mission congregation is in the first set of mission starts and enhancements to be included in our Synod's new 100 Missions in 10 Years effort. At wells110.net, you can follow the effort's progression and support it with your prayers, involvement, and gifts.